1130 The Buzz, WDBC Cincinnati, a Radio 1 station.
I'm Tony Bruscato with news and AM 1230 WDBZ, The Buzz, your talk station. A father and son are in custody and accused of kidnapping and assault in Cincinnati. Police say the two carjacked a driver and passenger and beat one of the victims with a gun. The unnamed victim suffered a severe head injury. The driver of a delivery box truck that crashed on Highway 68 in Brown County Friday morning has died. Troopers say after the truck hit a guardrail, first responders removed a portion of the truck to extricate the unidentified man, who later died at Brown County Hospital. While there's talk of developing Cincinnati's Newport South Bank Bridge, developers are reported to be considering building a restaurant and hotel right in the middle of the pedestrian span. That concept is being called a first of its kind in the nation. It's not clear how far along the plans are for the structure, better known to locals as the Purple People Bridge. Well, the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Indianapolis tomorrow to clash with the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Bengals dropped to 2-6 with a 27-21 home loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football. Indy is 5-3. With news, I'm Tony Bruscato on 1230 WDBZ, The Buzz, your talk station.
Coming Thanksgiving weekend, November 27th, in the Taft Theater, it's Cedric the Entertainer.
I tried to imagine if it was black versions of some of the hot shows, like, you know, the Desperate House Sisters. Like, girl, if I find out Tyrone cheating on me, I'm gonna cut his off.
Live in concert for one hilarious night of comedy, Cedric the Entertainer.
ER be the clinic. It burns!
Cedric the Entertainer and Friends, hosted by T.K. Kirkland.
CSI Detroit.
Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster and the Taft Theater box office or charged by phone.
Telling you, Tyrone, if I find some purple gators next to the body, I know you did it.
Thanksgiving weekend, Saturday, November 27th, in the Taft Theater at 7:30. Don't miss Cedric the Entertainer.
If black folk credit mean get it, you got some credit, get it. I got 11 flat screens in a four-bedroom house.
We salute the PNC unsung hero for the month of November, Miss Riola Hunt. Miss Hunt leads a purposeful life. Although some would say she's a senior citizen, she has the energy and vigor of someone half her age. She has taken on the mission of helping those in need, not just in this city or country, but without boundaries or limitations. She aids those in Jamaica every year through the Jamaica Children's Fund, in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, in North Dakota on Indian reservations, and of course at home through her church's prison ministry and in her neighborhood. She lives and demonstrates the golden rule. She believes that being born in this wonderful country allows you access to things most people in the world never get access to. And it is our responsibility to share those riches. Her message is, you are never too poor to help someone else in need. For all that you do, Miss Riola Hunt, you are the PNC unsung hero for the month of November. Brought to you by PNC and 1230 The Buzz.
When you need to talk about it, we're here. And we're back.
Thank God we have the show so we can tell what we want to tell.
1230 AM, WDBZ, The Buzz.
Your talk station.
Arise and shine, beautiful people, arise. Arise in the light of God's wisdom, beautiful people, arise. Your time has come, beautiful people, arise. Create your ancestors' vision, go back to your old-time religion. Shine in the light of God's wisdom, beautiful people, arise. Your time has come, you must be true to yourself. You must learn to divine truth and take pursuit of that which is real. You better see what you can do by getting yourself together. If our nation's to be strong, you've got to be prepared for any kind of weather. On your
You're listening to 1230 WDBZ. Welcome to Smitherman on the Mic. I'm with you every Saturday from 5 until 6 p.m. Like always, we're going to have a hot show, and I thank all of you who tune in every Saturday to Smitherman on the Mic. I appreciate all of you, the listening audience. Like always, we're going to talk about local politics. Politics are local. They're not national. They're not state. They are local. The African-American community must understand that politics are local. So when a local election comes up is when you are really charging the polls, because that's what's happening in your backyard. That's your streets being fixed. That's whether your police and fire sanitation workers are picking up trash or not picking up trash. Boy, City Hall is in financial chaos. And you've been hearing that on Smithern on the Mic. If you've been listening to this show, you've been hearing that this is coming, and it is now here. Write this number down, $350 million. That is the amount of revenue that the city is projecting that it's going to bring in, and the city has a $60 million deficit for next year, and they are attempting to balance that budget. I've been listening to the dialogue about laying off 144 police officers, 120 firefighters, demoting sergeants, demoting specialists, laying off middle managers. And then the city says that they need a streetcar. Now, I'm trying to, in my own common sense, Grandma, I like go to the basics. When I get into common sense, I just say, look, let me just talk to Grandma. Grandma, does this make any sense at all to you? I can hear Grandma saying, no, baby, this don't make no sense at all. That this week, the mayor and city council brought a replica of the streetcar and put it on Fountain Square. They then dispatched police officers to guard it, and then cost the city overtime for them to guard the replica of the streetcar on Fountain Square. At the same time, city council was debating laying off police officers. So just a mile away from where the replica of the streetcar was, where the officers were guarding the replica of the streetcar, council was debating whether they were going to fire police officers in 3 weeks. And they were charging the taxpayer overtime to guard the streetcar. Now, Grandma, I know you're listening to me. Can you just say, baby, this doesn't make any sense at all? I mean, this is not about whether I think a streetcar is good or not, because I'm not at the point to have that debate. I'm saying it's just not a priority. That my common sense, not my financial analysis, I haven't even gotten to financial analysis. I'm saying this makes no damn sense. Why would you be pushing a streetcar, laying off firefighters, and laying off police officers? Somebody out there in this radio space, make me or have me understand this. I'm not confused at all. The mayor is in China. That's where the mayor is. Can somebody tell me why the mayor is in China while we are discussing? I can't even say it with a straight face. The mayor is in China while we're talking about laying off police officers and firefighters. I'm thinking, is somebody, are all the screws there? I mean, seriously, community. Now, what we have figured out here is that the mayor can advocate for something. He wants this streetcar. I don't know why, but he really, really wants this streetcar. All of you see how hard he's pushing it. But when I walked outside of my office building on People's Corner and saw all of the white men tearing up the street in front of me, making $30 an hour, while black men were on the sidewalks watching them come down East McMillan, it was a very sad scene. I haven't heard the mayor advocating, saying black men should be working on these crews. How many of you continue to see these crews work in our city with our tax dollars with no black workers? You're talking about a way to spit on African Americans. Come into our community with all white crews, tearing our streets up, and we don't have access to jobs. And guess what? They're using city money to do it. This wouldn't be happening in Philadelphia. I'm telling you, it wouldn't be happening in Cleveland, and it wouldn't be happening in New York, because somebody would get their block knocked off. You wouldn't just go through those streets with all white crews and black folks don't have jobs. I continue to talk to black men who've been out of work for 2 years. So what do I see? I see there's not the same amount of money. So the white power structure has decided that they're going to push out the African Americans to keep their community working. It's a sad, sad commentary. It's a sad, sad commentary. And it's wrong. Are there excellent, good white people out here who understand that what is happening in this city is wrong? Absolutely. And are they writing about it and advocating for it? Absolutely. But boy, there is an element in Cincinnati that just won't let it go. And they have control of City Hall and the mayor's chair right now. Because it makes no sense to say, I'm going to continue to push a streetcar while I'm laying off police officers. Now let's talk about firefighters. Do you realize, community, that when they begin to lay off firefighters, they're going to brown out firehouses? Write that word down, brown out. That's when you close a firehouse for a period of time. And I know from experience that when a house is burning or grandma gets sick, that life and death are minutes. Anybody want to argue that? Life and death are minutes. So you close down a firehouse where it ultimately takes 2 minutes to get to somebody's house, and instead it takes 10 minutes to get to the house. The difference of those 8 minutes is death. Is there anybody who wants to argue that point? They're going to be browning out firehouses in low-income neighborhoods. Does anybody believe that they're going to brown out firehouses in Hyde Park? Are they going to close down firehouses in Hyde Park and Hyde Park residents say, my $800,000 house is now unprotected? Do you think that's going to happen? Do you think they're going to shut down and brown out firehouses deep, deep into Westwood? You think that's going to happen? You think deep, deep into Westwood? That's not Fay Apartments. There are folks on the west side that do not consider Fay Apartments the west side anymore. But I guarantee you this, they are not going to go deep, deep, deep over into the west side and brown out a firehouse. When they start reallocating resources, when they lay off 144 police officers, do you think that they're not going to protect Hyde Park? Do you think they're not going to protect Mount Adams? You think that's where they're going to pare down on their coverage? They're going to pull back in low-income neighborhoods. So the gangbangers and the violence will accelerate when we get on the other side of winter that I call the hawk. The hawk's going to come in. The death tolls are going to drop. The winter is going to freeze us out. Then it's going to unthaw us. We're going to have 144 police officers laid off. And when the weather comes up and we start talking about March, California Avenue is going to light up like the 4th of July. And the response time right now, those of you who are listening, if you've called and tried to get a police officer to respond, the response time is high now. Can you imagine 144 less police officers? It's on. Baby, it is on. And at the same time, city council continues to push a streetcar. We gotta have it. The Cincinnati NAACP just sent out a press release. The NAACP office is now open, 281-1900. The press release reads, the Cincinnati NAACP will consider petitioning the streetcar in 2011. The Cincinnati NAACP is concerned that city council continues to move to build a streetcar while laying off police officers, firefighters, and middle managers. This week, city council and the mayor had police officers guarding a streetcar on Fountain Square while paying overtime and discussing layoffs. Quote, this city council and mayor are disconnected from reality. The streetcar discussion is not about if you like a streetcar or not. It is about if a streetcar is a financial priority. This week, the Cincinnati NAACP Executive Committee will be discussing the possible launch of a 2011 petition against the streetcar. Quote, I think citizens are waking up to the fact that City Hall does not understand their plight and are interested in reconsidering if they want City Hall to move forward with a streetcar. We're going to pay some bills. Somebody call 281-1900. That's the number to the Cincinnati NAACP. 281-1900. Thank you, volunteers, for being there. All that you do. We're going to pay some bills. 749-1230. That's the number to this studio, 749-1230. We'll be right back after this break.
Rugs, floors, drive-by, shootings, slugs, saw to hit another crib, but it plugs yours. No hope, snow, dope is what they slang, but hang by their own rope. Spin in jail, time how you gone. Cope, it's emotional when the heart went alone. Scope out the city, city.
You're listening to 1230. WDBZ, welcome back to Smitherman on the Mic. I'm with you every Saturday from 5 until 6. I want to thank all of you who listen week in and week out. Remember, politics are local. They are not national and they are not statewide. Focus on your local politics. When you hear local election, you should be charged up, organized, and ready to go. The 9X system for city council is in play. The key thing to remember when voting for city council is you do not and should not vote for 9 people. The trick in our current system is to make you think that you must cast 9 votes. So you're actually throwing votes away to people and candidates that you have no interest in them getting elected. By voting for fewer candidates, you augment those candidates' chance to be elected. It's called undervoting. So the fewer people you vote for, you raise the probability of those people being elected. And if all of us did that, in the local election, it would be devastating to the status quo. President Doc Foster.
President Smitherman.
How you doing, brother?
Fine. How about yourself?
Doing good.
I was just listening. You said 144 police officers is going to be laid off.
Yes.
Brown out.
Yes.
White workers is working in all black neighborhoods. Only white workers.
Yes.
Now, President Smitherman, I fought blacks. I fought African Americans. I mean, it's no way that all black crew going out in Western Hill and do all the work.
Say that again. Draw that picture for me. Stretch that out.
It's no way that all African Americans be in Western Hill doing all the work. It's just not going to happen.
And why, Doc? Why do you know that you wouldn't have an all black crew working on the streets in Westwood? Draw that picture.
It's because they wouldn't do that. I mean, they would never allow that to happen. It just wouldn't. And then being out there all blacks, it wouldn't be safe out there. All blacks working in a white neighborhood, it really wouldn't be safe. But they can come and work in our neighborhood and really feel safe. I mean, just don't mean nothing. That's why I fought African Americans. The young lady just went off the radio. She talked about having courage. African America don't gonna have to step it up, bro, Prez. I mean, we're out there. We showing them. You pointed out. You've been pointing this out for 2 or 3 years. This ain't just happening. You went to jail. I went to jail. Showing them what's going on in this city, and they still sit back and just talk. They're going to have to step up to the plate. African Americans going to have to find some pride. They're going to have to find some dignity. They're going to have to find some solidarity and some courage within themselves.
President Doc Foster, is it that, and I don't want to insult anyone, but is it like a plantation where you have slaves that are actually saying that they have some type of an affinity with the person who is oppressing them? So psychologically, they're comfortable with their status of being in the back of the bus or being less than. Is that a mindset that you believe that we're struggling within our own community?
That's what, see, I remember my old uncle used to tell me, it's just like if the master get a cold, the slave would say, we have a cold. They identify themselves. They feel comfortable. If it's not a back door, they'll make one. If it's not a back seat, no one telling you to go, they'll automatically go. It's just something that we gonna have to do ourselves, and we cannot keep on looking for others to do it. We're gonna have to stand up and fight for ourselves. The Jews stands and fight for themselves. Mexicans stands and fight for themselves. Everybody are doing it but African Americans. And we are 50% of this city population. And we allow these things to happen in our neighborhood.
You know what's amazing to me, President Doc Foster, is I will talk to liberal white people and they will talk about programs. You know, they'll instantly go to the word programs. And I'm sitting there talking about jobs, meaning all of the stimulus money that's pouring into our communities, and African Americans aren't working on these crews, and we don't need another program. We need a job. Now, does that make sense to you?
That makes sense. And they always talk, I believe in prayer, but prayer with no legs to them. See, that's they tell you, pray is good, but you must put some legs on prayer. You must put some work behind prayer, because faith without works is dead. So what I'm saying to the African-American community, it's time for us to find some backbone and some guts. It's time for us to find some dignity and pride within ourselves.
President,
we
Doc,
have to do that.
President Doc Foster, is it that African-American people in general terms don't understand that City Hall is issuing these construction contracts to fix our roads and that it's really tax money out there, 100% of it, where they have 100% of white crews going out fixing, whether it's the West Side, whether it's College Hill, whether it's Oakley, whether it's Walnut Hills, that those are our tax dollars. These aren't private contracts. These are public contracts that are issued out, and the workforces are 100% or 99.9% white. Is it that our community doesn't understand that that is really our, we should have access. It's really our money.
Money. It's our money. And they can't say, you don't have the workers, you don't have the companies, because I know some companies right now can do that work. They are doing that work. But they are not getting these contracts. This is public money. And we sit back and let them spend public money, and we are not on the job. And then we're always talking about it's their fault. No, it's our fault. We allow that. We sit back and allow that.
Do you think
the jail should be full? We're going to have to do something.
President Doc Foster, do you think that it is that African Americans are unclear that City Hall and the mayor and the transportation department at City Hall are making subjective decisions on who's getting the work and where the work is happening? Do you think that they just don't understand that?
No, I believe they really, the majority of them, really understand it, but they just don't have enough courage to believe it and do something about it. You know, you can see something and then say, well, I really don't see it, if your mind tell you that. They must understand that these jobs are coming through City Hall, and the mayor is African American. We have three African American on the councilman. We have a city manager, African American, the health commission, African American, and they are saying nothing. They're saying nothing down there. The mayor go to, he over in China.
Isn't that amazing, man?
And all these jobs coming in our community, and we are not getting none of the work.
And the mayor says he's going to China in order to connect us to jobs, and the workers are coming right in front of our houses fixing our streets with no black workers.
And what makes it so bad? We believe that. It seemed to be. We believe that it seemed to be.
What do you mean we believe? Come on, Doc. What do you mean?
We believe that because there's nothing happening. We're not calling them on the carpet. We're not down to City Hall. When we do have meeting at City Hall, it's just only be a few African Americans. How can you go to China to get a job and they paying a minimum wage in China is $1? Ah. So how can you go to China to get us a job when they're right in our neighborhood working every day? We going to have to step it up. That's all to it. African-Americans going to have to step it up, find some pride, find some dignity in themselves, and demand the change.
President Doc Foster, I want you to hold. I want you to hold, all right? Hold with me. Mr. M, welcome to Smitherman on the Mic. Hi, Mr. M. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing,
good.
Sir?
Good. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes, sir. I'm just only trying to get back to you. I got to take you off of the speaker, though.
But thanks very much, because half of my own son didn't even know the look at the Sentinel. Our people don't even buy the Sentinel. And it gets on my nerves. It comes on, what is the Sentinel? They act like they don't even know the paper of the Sentinel. And I was on the front page. Nobody ever mentioned it. But yet and still, though, it was up to you, though. You was there, too. You know that?
Yes, you're talking to Cincinnati Herald.
Was that the Herald?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the Sentinel.
No, it's the Cincinnati Herald.
But yet and still, though, my sister brought the paper, though, to me and told me, Dog, I didn't even know it.
Yes, you were. You were on the front page.
Yes, we were.
Down there in front of getting ready to vote.
The election.
That's right, the election.
Yes, sir.
But, brother, I'm just saying, when are we going to get some pride and really force this agenda about all of these jobs that these folks are doing all this work? They eating every day, making $30 an hour right in front of our houses. It don't make any sense, Mr. M.
I know that. But the whole thing is, we are doing the best that we can, the ones that are able to do, but the ones that are living, making a little bit of wages, think that they are doing the best that can be done. Think that they are making that they're at the highest of their peak.
Jesus.
They underestimate themselves.
Mr. M, we got to change this. Appreciate your call, man. Appreciate
you. But I also wanted to add that they are not realizing that we can always do more.
Absolutely.
Take care.
All right, brother. Appreciate you. Whitney, welcome to Smitherman on the Mic. We've got one line open, 749-1230. Whitney, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. President Smitherman, I know we some of the community been doing a lot of talking and what we're going to do and how can we get black folks to work more on these construction jobs. Have we ever tried, I'm talking about the NAACP, have we ever tried to have a lawsuit against the city to have them to stop, where a lawsuit stopped them from working while we could open the books or something where we could file lawsuits against the city?
We have not filed one, but I think it's something we should look into and entertain. But we have not filed one on that point.
You know,
What can change it, Whitney? Mm-hmm. What can change it is one election. One election changes it. Meaning, if we elect people that will go down and demand to represent everybody, which would include black people, the contracts would not be let out to all white companies who have all white workforces.
I understand that, Brother Smith, but election will change, but we have to get at least by 5 votes.
No, you don't.
You don't,
Whitney.
No, I'm talking about on city council.
Listen, Whitney, if there were 3 conscious people, whether they were black or white, on council,
uh-huh.
It takes 5 votes to get anything done. Most votes go down 5-4. So if there were 3 people there on mm-hmm. council that really were thinking about everybody,
uh-huh.
those 3 people would lock city council down. They couldn't do anything without getting those 3 votes.
Okay, now, Busman, we got Winbound, Young. He said, he's upset with that. And even I hate to call her the white lady, the white lady from Channel 9. She even said maybe Cecil Thomas. That's about 3.5-4 people right there. Why Winburn haven't put that forth and tried that? What you talking about?
Well, Winburn is doing it and has done it and is speaking about it. The people who aren't are the Democrats.
That's what I'm saying.
Those are the people, but that's our vote, Whitney. That's how we go in and think through who we're. At the end of the day, if we're voting for these people or not voting at all, whose responsibility is it at the end of the day if they get elected? I mean, is it my responsibility, your responsibility, the black community? Whose responsibility is it?
But Brother Smith, what I'm saying is, have Winburn brought forth to Councilman Young, Cecil, and the lady from China.
No, they have not. They have not, Whitney, because he doesn't have those votes.
He can't get votes right now.
He can't get Quinn Living and Cecil Thomas and
Young
to put a motion on the floor with signatures that says stop letting out contracts to these white companies that don't have any blacks on the workforce. He doesn't have them.
So what I'm saying, Brother Smith, I'm just trying to find a way where we could do this. Why we won't put a lawsuit against the city, have that in there, And then when election come around, we could do both at the same time.
Because let me share with you, Whitney, it's not saying we're not. It's saying the best way to handle it is at the ballot box. It's not. I'm just saying the best way to handle it is black people in this city who do not have jobs get up off their couches and cast votes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, Whitney. We can't keep going and asking everybody else to save us, bail us out, sue, when we're unwilling to get off our couch, take 5 minutes, and cast a vote.
That's true. I thought we could do both.
I'm not saying we can't. I'm saying to you, Whitney, that self-determination starts at home. We have got to take responsibility for our community and our life. Nobody would tell Jews that they've got to get up and vote. They don't have to have the reason to show up. They just vote. Latinos in this neighborhood, in our community right now, are outvoting us. How does that happen? How does a community come in and outvote African Americans that built America for free? Whitney, we got to hit it, bro. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you. All right. All right. I'm going to go here to Hillary. Hillary, I want you to hold. We got to take a break. We're going to pay some bills. We got one line open, 749-1230. President Doc Foster, please continue to hold. I'm going to get back to you. Somebody call 281-1900. That's the number to the Cincinnati NAACP and join the organization. That's one thing, Whitney, people can do right now. It's $30 to be a member for the whole year. For the whole year. We blow that on beer. We blow it on liquor. We blow it on partying. We blow it on everything. We blow it on illegal stuff. I mean, $30 is nothing. We've got to stand up and take responsibility for our own lives and our own existence. Nobody's going to step up and say, I'm here to do anything for African Americans if African Americans are unwilling to do it for themselves. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this break.
But it's a strange thing how people will use religion often to justify their prejudices. And they would go back in the Bible. And they would say, now the Negro is inferior by nature because of Noah's curse upon the children of Ham. And you know, that was a great philosopher back in Greek philosophy by the name of Aristotle, who did a great deal to set up formal logic.
You're listening to 1230 WDBZ. We're just trying to educate here. We just want your conscience. We just want your conscience to be higher. You know? And I have to tell you, some days when I come in here for free, F-R-E-E, and I work for free for the Cincinnati NAACP, for free, I get frustrated as hell. I mean, it is beyond time for us to turn around with these nonsensical solutions. I mean, all we have to do is get up off our butts and go and vote. Stop trying to outthink the solution. I mean, at least try the damn solution. At least try the damn solution. I feel like sometimes we're like the bad news bears. You know, we're on the field. Our uniforms aren't matching. We're all jacked up. We're getting whooped. And it's like we just like getting whooped. And we got all the power in our hands. And then we come up with excuses like, well, man, I'm just beat down. You know, that's just an excuse. I mean, the ball is in your hand. Go to school. Make your grades. Study. Stop complaining. Work hard. When you say you're going to be somewhere on time. Pull your pants up. Walk around with some dignity with yourself. Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Don't walk around with sleep all in your eyes. And your breath stinking. You know? I mean, we just walk around any kind of way. Women, put some clothes on. Stop showing your breast out to everybody. I don't want to see your breast. I don't want to see your crack. You look nasty. Men are not attracted to women that look like prostitutes. They use them as prostitutes. And the best kind of prostitute is one that is free. I got a bargain. I don't even have to pay for this. I mean, the word frustrating is beyond me. Every day, 7 days a week, I'm up reading, I'm preparing, I'm jogging, I'm working my mind, I'm coming up with strategies to try to move our community in Cincinnati to a better place. I don't want to come back 50 years, turn on the buzz, and hear the same dialogue. We are sick, black community. We are sick. It's not white folks that are sick. We are sick. And they laugh at us. They make a mockery at us. They say we don't even want to come to work and put a hard day work in. A hard day of work. They laugh at us. Say we're lazy. We won't even give 8 hours at $30 an hour. Y'all can get mad at me if you want. I hope I'm making some of you feel uncomfortable. How in the world would you walk around and not take care of your own children and then say you're a man? You're a punk. If you ain't taking care of your kids, you are a punk. That's what punks do. You don't have to go to no court system to tell you take care of the doggone kids that you created. You acting like a punk. That's what punks do. No, you got to go to a white judge to sit your black butt down and tell you take care of your children. That's what a master does to a slave, punk. Don't get mad at a woman because she don't want to give you no more free butt. You ain't taking care of her. You're not taking care of your kids. You ain't providing no direction. Then you get mad. Then you get upset when another brother steps up and says he gonna take care of her. Boy, you got some nerve, Negro. You got some nerve, Toby. You've got some nerve, Toby. Any man that says he's going to step up and take care of some children and a black woman, I take my hat off to them. I am sick and tired of black folks making excuses. I'm not a Republican. I am a realist. I am a conservative person with some doggone values. Get some values. Have some pride in what you do. I'm embarrassed that African Americans don't vote. I mean, the white community is sitting around going, man, we just kicked them right in the teeth. We kicked them in the butt. We tell them they don't have to vote for 9 people, but they go in and vote for 15. Are they crazy? And they laugh at us. They thought early voting, the Republican Party fought early voting. Do you know why they fought early voting? Because they thought that you all were going to show up and vote early. And they just got proved wrong. They say, man, even when we tell them they can vote on Sunday, the church says, oh, no, we're not going to vote on Sunday and mess up our Sabbath day. Black people are not in church. Where are the ministers and your vans on election day? Why are you not rolling them? Why are you not putting 15 people in your vans and driving them to the Board of Elections? Are you asleep? Is the church dead? That's what I want to know. The Bible says, the word says, I'm alive, but the church is dead. Because there's no way the church would allow the masses of African Americans to look and be like this. The church is failing the black community. Let me tell you something, ministers. Stop asking why the people aren't coming to church. And that's the wrong question. And begin to ask what you're doing to keep them out of the church. If you would do your job and feed them, they would come. But because you're getting paid off, because you're silent, because you're not out there feeding the masses of our people, the people say the church is irrelevant. The Word of God is alive. If the Word is alive, you'd be driving your vans and putting black folks in them and taking them to the Board of Elections. We are a sick, sick people. Get up off your behinds and vote. Save some money. Stop living paycheck to paycheck. You get paid, you take all your money, and you give it away. That's insane. You drink, you smoke weed. That's what you do. You party, you shake your rump. You go in and buy clothes. You think you look good, and your inside is perishing. I mean, we are insane. When you get a paycheck, save some money. Put it back. That's what Grandma and Grandpa did. President Doc Foster, welcome to Smitherman on the mic.
President Smitherman, I'm telling you, man, we have not, we still have that inferior and superior. We haven't got rid of that. And that is the problem we have today. Many African Americans, you notice, even when we were voting early, you seen the Baptist Ministers Conference and they van, but it was mostly all Baptist Ministers Conference. Where all the other denominations?
Jesus.
Where all the Methodists and where all the Catholics? And it was only Baptist Ministers Conference and their vans running. Where all of the other denominations that we put our monies into? Where was the Crossroads?
Jesus.
Where was all these denominations where we put all of our monies into? Where was the white church? Where? Most blacks now go to white churches. Their pastors don't say nothing. And what I'm saying to us, the problem we have to find some pride and dignity in ourselves. We must be happy with us. That's our problem.
Love you, President Doc Foster. Appreciate you, brother.
Keep on, man. Keep the work up.
Thank you, brother.
You're doing a great job.
You're doing a great job. Love you, man.
Talk to you. Love you.
All right. Hillary, welcome to Smitherman on the mic.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that earlier. But I wanted to call. I heard you talking about voting. And I think at this point, as it relates to our city council, at this point, now not every single one of them, but a majority of our council and our mayor's office has been bought and sold. And anyone who knows anything about politics or history knows when that happens, they are no longer effective to govern. And that is the reason why it's so important to get out on this council race. They are no longer in a position to be public servants. And if you look at the formula that they've created, granted we're in a national recession, but they have done a lot to contribute to the unemployment, okay, which everyone knows then leads to higher crime, and now they are taking 150 police off the street. What kind of formula is that for a city? They are no longer effective to govern this city.
Sister Hillary, we got to hit it right here. Appreciate you. On that note, appreciate you. All right, Black Lion, welcome to Smitherman on the mic.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing good, man.
Very well, thank you. Listening to your show, and I wanted to make a few points, and I got to add this, that so-called America, before they became America, went up against a nation called England. And when they went up against this nation, England was one of the strongest nations in the world, so they said. But didn't none of the people in America vote on England? They didn't give England a vote. They didn't let go and vote for England. They didn't give England their power or have them to have a vote or a say-so in their liberation. I'm saying if we have to liberate our people, we can't go to the same people who's trying to deny us our liberation to get it from them. We can't keep working for them. We can't keep giving them our votes. We can't keep using the same means to get us nowhere. And I'm wondering, is it going to take 50, 60, another 100 years for black men, so-called black men and women, to understand that fact?
Black Lion, we got to hit it. I love your commentary, man. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. All right, Steve, welcome. Steve, welcome to Smitherman on the Mic.
Yes, hello. I have a quick comment. Are you there?
I'm here, Steve.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of talent, unused talent in the black community in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And there's people with skills that are being wasted away, and I think it's a matter of organization. You know, people are just not organized in the black community as there are in other communities. And I think there's an opportunity for, you know, different people to organize around different issues that they care about.
I agree, Steve.
That is the issue. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. People have a lot of time. A lot of people have a lot of time that's just being wasted. And they have to give them something that they feel good about to fight about. And it's just a matter of organization. I don't know who's going to do that. I don't know who's going to create the organization or design an organization to have people make people feel that they can contribute something to and to something that they can value. But that's what has to be done.
All right, Steve. Thanks for your comment, brother. Appreciate it, Keith. Please continue to listen. Teresa, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Smitherman. I just wanted to comment on how you felt about black churches and what they're doing. The Bible says that Jesus was the best good shepherd, and the definition of a shepherd is he takes care of his flock. So if one of those sheep just leaves the flock, he stops and he goes and gets that last sheep and brings him back into the fold. Unfortunately, our churches are not being who they are supposed to be as the example of a good shepherd, because the shepherd will take care of everything. The sheep would have to not to really do anything. The shepherd is the one that takes care of them. So if the pastors of these churches are not doing what they're supposed to do, they're not living up to what Jesus is supposed to be all about.
Teresa, we got to hit it right here, sister.
Right.
Appreciate you. All right, please, somebody out there, you don't have any life insurance at all on your life right now. You have nothing. You're walking around nude and naked. You have children, mothers, you have children, and no life insurance. Men, you have children and no life insurance. It makes no sense. Buy some life insurance so that you can protect your interest in your children's lives. So if you die prematurely, you don't leave your children broke. This is a basic responsibility of having a child. Get some insurance on your life. Call me for a free quote, 751-3888. That's how you change your life. Do something for yourself. When you get paid this week, don't spend the money. Put it back. If it's $10, save it. I'll be back with you, God willing.